Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this episode of Thriving with Sarah and Jenny. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about something that has the opposite impact to thriving, and actually, it'll be a big blocker to actually thriving in life and in work. We're going to talk about bullying, and more specifically, bullying in the workplace, but bullying, it's applicable anywhere. And Jenny, you were the one who suggested we have this topic, and it's a little less positive than we normally are. It feels a bit. Tell me a little bit about this.
Yeah, I was thinking about the different topics that we do discuss, and bullying came to mind because there was an episode a few months back when I found myself in a situation which made me feel very uncomfortable. And it wasn't until I thought about it afterwards, I realized that I had actually been bullied by this other person. And what made it worse was the person concerned was a very good friend. I love her dearly. And we've known each other a very long time, which made it even more bewildering and difficult to reconcile because this was not the person I thought I knew. And yet, when I examined the behavior, I thought, that's actually not good. And that made me think about the fact that we've got all this legislation in place in the workplace to say that not bully. It is not on. It is not allowed.
Yeah.
And yet, in reality, and I don't know what the situation is in the UK, but certainly here in Australia, bullying is rife. It hasn't gone away at all. Wow. And if anything, I believe it's actually getting a bit worse. So I'm curious to try and understand why that should be. What is going on at work that's leading people to interact with their colleagues in a way that is less than respectful, quite hurtful, and actually damaging, not only to the but to their health as well. So I thought, we should be talking about that.
Yeah. And I think that's really interesting because a lot of the times when any kind of negative behavior comes out, right? Obviously, we hear how someone behaves is not a reflection on you, right? Obviously, bullying does harm us. It leads into all our connections and what happens in our tribal behaviors and making us feel excluded or singled out. But it's an interesting comment in terms of what's happening for those people who are bullying others? Because I would guess for the most part, they would never think of themselves as a bully, would be my guess. Nobody, I don't think, sets out to say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And I don't want to focus this on the bully because that behavior isn't appropriate at all.
No.
But I think there's always the acknowledgement of what's happening for that person. And my guess would be not feeling safe, are scared, have fear for their jobs, for their livelihoods, for their respect, all those different kinds of things. I think bullying in the workplace, it's such a difficult one because people don't want to be seen to be too sensitive. Something I've been told I am.
That's right.
Also, different personality traits, different communication styles, what might feel like bullying to one person is just being factual and honest on the other and understanding your impact on other people.
Yeah.
So there's a whole myriad of those things, and bullying is bad and horrible and wrong. So how do we come across that? It's not only bad and horrible and wrong, Jenny. You were talking to me about it has a lot of physical and side effects for the individual.
Absolutely.
Who's being bullied, doesn't it?
If you're somebody who is being subjected to bullying behavior by a person or persons, and it's an ongoing event, then that sets up that stress response. So you're in this constant state of alertness. Mm. Are they going to be in the room? Are they going to be saying something snide or unkind? They're just on alert for what somebody might say or in the way they behave, their body language can give a lot away as well. That triggers our stress response, which over time leads to what we recognize as chronic inflammation. And chronic inflammation then puts us at greater risk of developing physical illness. So high blood pressure, heart disease, cancer, ulcers, muscular tensions, and all those sort of things. And also the psychological harm it can do as well, where people are fearful to turn up to work because they've got this knot in their stomach and they're afraid that the behavior is going to manifest itself again. It's very hard to think straight or clearly when you're fearful of what somebody else might say or do.
Absolutely.
The problem is, of course, it affects people's performance. You cannot be your best. You cannot deliver what you know you're capable of if you're always worried that somebody's coming up behind you to stab you in the back or do something that's going to hurt you in some way. So it's very damaging. It's very damaging for the individual. And I think it's very damaging for organizational culture as a whole. Because if it's tolerated, then it opens the floodgates. Well, if I see so-and-so behaving badly, then it's okay for me to behave in that way too. And so it sets up this sort of insidious, creeping sort of source of bullying, where everybody starts to become a little bit snide and snarky. And one of the questions I have as to why bullying appears to be worse at the moment is I'm wondering if it's a sort of a side effect of dealing with the pandemic, when so many of us were dealing with so much stress and uncertainty and worry for so long.
Fear.
Not everybody has recovered from that. And I know if I'm under a lot of pressure or a lot of stress, I'm not always a very nice person to be around myself. My husband will tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. We all, well, like, well, and it's not like fear breeding fear, right? And emotions being contagious. So if we're in that space of fear and stress and we're worried about things, and it spills over, right? As we always talk about here, all the things that happen at work spill over into all the things in the rest of our life outside of work. And and it has such an impact. I think it's important for us to talk as well about, like, what is bullying? What is not bullying?
Yeah.
Right? So I found this description. There's no actual legal definition, from my understanding, but it's a unwanted behavior that is either offensive, intimidating, malicious, or insulting, or an abuse or misuse of power that undermines, humiliates, or causes physical or emotional harm to someone. Mm-hmm. And that's some of the stuff that we talked about, right? Like, obviously, we kind of know about, like, physical intimidation, which I feel like that is, for the
that's
most part, has left the workplace.
One. Yeah.
I think, but the rest of the kind of the mental communication and things like that, it makes people feel awful. It makes them question their own ability. I think if a workplace wants to be a high-performing workplace, it stops people from collaborating. Everything shuts down, right? You get fight, flight, or freeze, right? And I think in the workplace, a lot of the time, it's freeze, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I think fight at work. You can't really
can't always
most
fight.
Most of us can't just walk away.
Yeah. I've had quite a few conversations with people who have told me that they are being bullied by a particular person. And I think what's difficult for me to hear is that their experience isn't just on one occasion, but this is going on for weeks, if not months, if not years. And despite the person who feels they are being bullied talking to the chain of command and saying, look, this is what's happening. It's affecting me. It's affecting my work. What can we be doing? There doesn't always seem to be an effective or adequate response. In some instances, they get to a certain point and say, I can't take this anymore. I'm off. I'm gone.
Yeah.
From what I've heard from many of the conversations, what the bullier was trying to achieve in the first place, they're trying to get rid of somebody because they want their position or they want to expand their own career. So you're in the way of getting rid of you somehow.
Get rid of you. And also, because the absence of that person, they get what they want, then their behavior is reinforced, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's really important with that in mind to really nip it in the bud instantly and as much as possible, call it out, call a spade a spade. I think some of the descriptions are things like constantly criticizing someone's work, spreading malicious rumors about someone, putting someone down in the meeting, deliberately giving them more work than anyone else, excluding them either from decision-making or from social activities. And then obviously like humiliation and threatening behavior, which is, again, like I said, I think that's quite, that one's quite easy to deal with because there that feels like it's crystal clear. The other ones are so open to interpretation, right? And communication and culture of an organization. You know, you get things like radical candor, which I've always really struggled with, to be perfectly honest. The idea of radical candor sounds great in theory, but so often I have seen it used. I don't believe this is the intention of it, but I have seen it used to be harshly critical of people. And then to say, what? I'm just being honest. I'm just being truthful. And so I think we tend to err on the side of, no, it's fine to be radically candid about bad things. But we don't mention the radical candor about the good things. So I have seen that used, which then encourages what in any other situation would be deemed bullying. So I find it quite difficult to know where is that line. And yes, you can have a really safe environment, a really, really good psychological safety where you can challenge people and it's not bullying. But I think that's why it's so difficult, right? To put, what do you think? That's my observation.
Yes. What is the difference between a robust conversation where you're calling out the elephant in the room about an issue that does need to be debated?
Right.
And one person taking that as a personal affront or an attack.
Yeah.
Because that's basically the difference. The person trying to have a robust discussion is trying to say, we can't leave it in this manner. We do need to have this uncomfortable conversation in order to progress and move forward, even though all parties are going to feel really sort of, do we have to go there?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't feel nice, right?
But it doesn't feel nice.
But we do, yes. But we have to be able to talk about things that are not right or things that are not going the way they should go, or people who are not performing at work. It's a really difficult one, isn't it? You know, if someone's not performing at work, how do you have that conversation in a way that isn't bullying, but is also honest?
And that's the tricky piece, because the person who may be having a performance review where their performance isn't up to standard and does need to be raised, and maybe they've had a number of conversations around the same topic and nothing's changed, then they may start to feel that they are being discriminated against for whatever reason.
Yep, absolutely.
And so many times you then see people going down the legal path. I've been discriminated against. And often that's when the gender thing comes in, or And it can be a minefield for anybody else involved in the dispute to try and make sense of what is actually really going on here, and is it true bullying as such, as we would understand from the definition, even if it's not a legal definition, and how would it be interpreted by our legislation, which I think is designed to try and help people to make sense.
Absolutely.
To
make sense
of
it.
And I think it can put people in leadership positions in a very difficult position.
Yeah.
Because if you've got somebody saying, you've got to do something about Mary because she's hassling me, or she's hassling Trevor, or she's doing this, she's doing that.
Yep.
And every week she's coming in to give you the same story. You have to address that, because otherwise you're being seen as you're not taking on your responsibilities as leader to try and resolve the issue. But yes, it can be a quagmire.
It's such a quagmire, because also, like, you know, and as someone again who is very sensitive to criticism, sometimes you can feel like it's a personal attack, and it's not. Sometimes it is, right? So but sometimes it's not. So how do you help people who are maybe being criticized fairly to feel that it's not unfair, actually? And I think you had a really good how to deal with the bully, but I think it's true of in dealing with receiving any kind of feedback, you know, is the feedback factual? So make it factual, not about the person and not what they've done, but factually about the work is something that comes up for that. One thing as well, before we shift to what do you do with it, is the interesting impact that you can have bullying going upwards, right? Quite often bullying is done from a position of power, but actually, how do leaders deal with it when they're being bullied by their direct reports? And that can show up like refusing to do the work, not listening constantly, undermining what's happening. I think it's not something that we often talk about, that it can happen up the chain, right?
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. It's interesting. Human nature is a weird beast at the best of times. And yes, it's easy to assume it's the person who perceives they have the power.
Yeah.
Will manipulate the next person. And usually it's the person they perceive as having less power. But it's not unheard of for a leader, a business leader, to be bullied.
Yeah.
By
absolutely.
People below them. And the question then is, well, who do they go and talk to? Because if you normally would go up the chain of command, if you are the top level of command yourself, that puts you in a very difficult position. And I think that's
absolutely.
Where having membership of a leadership group where you are part of a small group of leaders who come together on a regular basis to talk about stuff can be very supportive, because I think otherwise you can be left feeling very isolated and not really knowing where to turn. And that can have a devastating effect on somebody's physical and mental health. So finding the right avenue to deal with it, no matter what your position, is incredibly important. And I think you were leading into the idea that we've got to start with self-awareness first.
Yeah. Always, right?
Always, always, always.
Yes. But it's the only thing we have control over, right? So we should absolutely talk to other people.
Yeah.
And especially if you're feeling out of control in that way,
yes.
What can you do for yourself?
Yeah, exactly. There was a quote, and I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt who said that if you know you're being manipulated, you're actually not being manipulated, because you cannot be manipulated by a manipulator if you know that's happening.
It sounds like you're giving randoms.
I really like that. I like that a lot, Jenny G.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know something's happening. And you say,
this
well,
what's going on?
I'm not giving you permission.
Yeah.
To affect me. So it's a bit like I've raised my Teflon coating. And you can say what you like. It's been deflected off. I'm not letting it land. Yeah. I'm not allowing this to impact me as a person, because this is your issue. It's not my issue.
Yeah.
If you're choosing to behave in this way, and I don't know why you're choosing to behave in this way, I need to be able to understand for myself that I haven't asked them to behave in this way, and it's not acceptable to me. So I need to be able to have that awareness that this is not on, and to have that inner strength to say, no, this isn't right. And to speak up, to confront the bully. You don't call them a bully, because that's going to...
Yeah, that's...
Hey, you're bullying me.
Another story. Hey, bully.
Hey, bully, come here. But to say, you can easily deflect it by adopting language which is not threatening them. As a person, you can just say, look, I found what you said or the way you behaved in that meeting, it felt disrespectful to me. And that immediately takes away of, you were being disrespectful.
You did this thing.
So you're keeping it down and not allowing a conversation potentially to spiral out of control.
Yes.
You can keep the tone fairly friendly and just to ask, well, is there anything I can help you with in here? You're clearly upset about X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
Is there something we need to discuss around? And just see
and I like
whether
that
will help.
Explain what the specific thing was and how it made you feel, right? Because that then, you're talking about the situation and obviously what happened to you, which is not threatening, right? Some of that is like kind of the nonviolent communication, right?
That's right.
And then I think you said, if you're in that situation, you were talking about this great tool to use called BISP.
Yes, it's a great BISP. I'm going to BISP you if you keep bullying me.
Yeah, bullying and BISPing.
Bullying and BISPing. Like so BISP stands for brief. So keep it short. You don't want a lengthy dialogue. It's just being short and to the point. What are you talking about? The I stands for informative. So this is the specifics around what you're highlighting. And then it's adopting the friendly, light tone. And but still being assertive and firm. This is not acceptable to you. So you're making sure that they hear that. And then moving on so that they get the message from you. Not acceptable. I'm not sure what's happening. Maybe we need to take this further, but I would really appreciate it if you didn't do this again.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. But then you're done. And I think it's important as well to do it informally like that, if you like, but then keep a record. Because if someone is actually bullying you, you will need to protect yourself by keeping a record and understanding what's happening.
Yes.
Put it in an email, talk to your manager, connect with the HR or a colleague. I think it's really important that, yes, you can do work for yourself, but also reach out to those who can support you.
Absolutely.
It's not okay. And if it's happening to you, it may very well be happening to someone else. And if you have the ability to be brave and to have the difficult conversations, because it is not easy. It's really not easy. And it takes a lot on yourself. So to protect yourself, some of that self-awareness is, what do you need to do to keep yourself,
look after you,
to sustain yourself and look after you through all of this?
Yeah.
I think it's really important to be thinking on those levels, but also to reach out if you can, if you have the ability to do so, to get the support you need. It might be internal, it could be external. You have either friends or companies that will be able to give you support. And just making sure that you are taking care of yourself, because all those things you talked about, Jenny, the makes you feel bad, the stress, the moods, panic, anxiety, poor sleep, all these things that we know lead to poor health, poor mental health. So what do we need to do to protect ourselves?
So the self-awareness piece, the documentation piece, because we think we're going to remember, but unless we write it down or record it in some way, it's very easy for nuances to be lost. So it could be a matter of retaining emails, if emails have been part of the problem, or text messages or phone calls, all that.
Yeah.
And just keep it documented and dated.
Yep.
So you can see how the pattern works, because this is going to be crucial if it does escalate and, you know, other people have to become involved in sorting this out. Then they are going to want to know exactly what has been happening, because one person is going to be saying, they did this, and the other person is going to be saying, no, I didn't. So you have to have that recorded information to enable them to move forward. Then you can start to manage expectations around how it can be resolved. So you get both parties involved and to seek agreement on both sides on how they can work together in the future. Because if you've been appointed to work alongside the person that you believe is bullying you on a project, and it's going to be 6 months, about you, but I'm not going to be looking forward to going to work.
No, definitely not. I'm not going to be performing at my best. I'm
not going to be performing
what I need to be giving. Yep, all the things. Yeah.
So all those things, I think, could be helpful. But I think it's so important that we do find that courage, because like you say, if we don't, and the other person doesn't learn that that behavior is not acceptable, then the danger is they will repeat that learned behavior.
Absolutely.
And it will go round and round and round. And of course, bullying doesn't come out of nowhere. We know there's a lot of bullying that goes on in schools.
Yeah.
And a lot of bullying that isn't rectified or corrected or dealt with in schools. And I've got this underlying fear that there are a number of kids who go through the education system as bullies and then turn up in the workplace. And of course, they've got that
That's
learned behavior
learned.
Already in place. That's what they've learned.
That's it. Gets
what they want.
Exactly. And there was Adam Grant. I was just brought up on this. He had a good tweet, which was just that we can also work ourselves up about these difficult conversations and leave them and leave them and leave them. But they're rarely as unpleasant as we expect. And that's like the science is coming out and saying 7 studies that we're too pessimistic about speaking to people, friends, partners, works. And we fixate on what could go wrong rather than actually, you could have that difficult conversation with a work colleague who all of a sudden goes, oh my gosh, that's not at all what I was trying to do. They look at their behavior. Maybe they get some help. Maybe they have some underlying things that are causing them to be like this. And you see that, don't you? Stories about people who were bullies at school and then how they feel about it later in life and the terrible things that were going on for them, right? So I thought it was really interesting that actually studies are showing that us keeping it to ourselves might actually make it harder and harder on ourselves.
Adam Grant does come up with some great snippets of wisdom. Love his work. And it highlights the fact that if we focus on what we don't want, if we feel we are being bullied and we're focusing on, I hope I'm not going to get bullied today or treated with a disrespect, and that's all we're thinking about, it's almost as if we're going to manifest it more readily. Whereas if we're focused on, I'm really fed up with the way that Jack's been behaving, but you know what? I'm really excited about this work. And what I really want to achieve is I want to get these particular aspects of this project that we're working on strongly worked out. We've got a good framework and then we can sort of move forward. Then you've got a different focus. And when you've got that more positive focus, it's going to give you the momentum. And then even if Jack does something, it's a bit narky, you can just say, oh, Jack's doing it again, but he hasn't impacted you and you haven't engaged with it. And Jack will then go, oh, she didn't bite. So sometimes that can teach them that it's not worth their while.
Oh, it's not worth it for me to have this conversation.
Absolutely.
Well, now we put the world to rights.
Put the world to rights, Biff Baffle. It's like the old Batman cartoon. If you are being bullied and you feel like you have the strength to take that forward, please do. It's not acceptable. And also self-awareness. How do you speak to people? Even this conversation, Jenny, has made me think about some conversations I've had recently. And I don't think I've been bullying, but maybe I need to have a think about how I'm showing up and what's behind how I'm speaking and the frame that I'm looking at the world through, because we can always do better, right? So both sides, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Always a work in progress. Always. Well, we'd love to hear from everybody what is true for you. Have you ever been in a situation yourself where you felt you were being bullied? And how did you manage that? Did you sort it out yourself? Did you have to get help? There are teams and organizations that go into organizations to help with bullying, who will actually go through the different explanations of what bullying can look like, because we're not always fully aware. And then go through different strategies on how to manage it. And that can be enormously empowering for everybody in that particular workplace. And of course, having a good relationship with those around you so that people get you and will support you if they can see that you're struggling. Because if we see someone else being bullied, what is the right thing to do? Well, I'm hoping it's going to be to stand up for them and say, excuse me, I really don't like the way you're speaking to my friend here, or whatever you're going to say. And just to sort of pull them back, because we're often not aware of how we're coming across. We think we're being assertive and we might be being quite rude, but sometimes it needs to be called out.
And sometimes you can go, that's not anything like I was meaning. You have a really great conversation and you and that person leave way closer than you started, right?
And that builds a much stronger relationship moving forward, and more trust between the people, which is what you always want.
Always what you want.
We'll be talking about another topic next time, won't we? We've got a guest next time, haven't we?
We have a guest, yes. We're going to delve into the wonderful world, clarity.
Clarity, clarity, clarity. I can't wait. Okay, thanks everybody. See you next time. Bye.
Bye for now.